Blog Talk Radio.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trusting you, he always kept me whole. Uh-huh. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. But shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh, Elohim of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy. Worthy.
Captivity is taking hold upon me. For frightening me and now we flee for fallen leaves. The ground and grief from all the blood our people seen. And now we cry, where is the word from Elohim? And so we said that we all is wise to be submissive, but we dismiss it. It is of this reason we have fallen victim to the lies that your root will pray and pursue. Rebellious of the son, forgotten that he is one. Broken the holy ordinance, rejecting the reproof. Then acknowledge what we do. Now we return back to the truth.
God's word is the truth. God's decrees is the proof. Local 12 just released the scoop. It's the summer of Sam. They calling us Ham. Made us worship the son of man. And somehow that the moon, they stole our style and gave it to Rothschild. Now we exalt the vow, but hit the turnstile. God's now be set the crooked things straight. Praise God from the rising to the evening to the closing the gate. Exposing the fake. God give the truth a day break. Now the liars can't escape and the haters can't relate to the light the truth makes. See the wicked's pride deflate. Your soul, y'all magnify, y'all cut his grace.
Shalom, shalom, shalom. First and foremost, giving all praise and honor to the Holy One of Israel, to the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein. It is by saying hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous. Yah is holy. And let Yahweh be magnified. Once again, the creator has allowed us to come before thee another week, bringing to you his great and holy and exalted words, even the words of truth. My name is Moray Ishaya Yisrael of the House of Israel, located right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, 1907 Vine Street, bringing to you nothing but the truth. And yes, it is true. All we're going to do is tell you the truth. For Yah ordained me to tell you the truth. So this is what I'm going to do. And who is this Yah? Yah is the creator of the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all that is therein is. Yah is the Elohim of our fathers, the Elohim of Abraham, Yitzhak, and Yisrael, whom you may know as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah is our king. He's our judge. He is our lawgiver. And Yah is our only savior, and not just of Israel. Yah is the savior of the world. Praise the mighty Yah for allowing us to bring to you his great words. Yesterday we dealt with voting and how our people are bamboozled, tricked, lied to about the power of the vote. And little do our people know, if your enemies thought that the vote will give you power, do you think they will allow you to vote? They will give you the opportunity to exert power over them? Why do you think that in the United States of America, no president can win the presidency whatsoever by the popular vote? If the vote counted and it meant what you believe it means, that there's power in it, then let's just see who gets the most votes. But you will find in the United States that the person who wins the most votes still lose. Now, ask yourself, what kind of sense does that make? You voted. Your candidate got the most votes, but still lose. It's like running a race, and you beat everybody in the race, but you still lose. How did I lose? Because you won first. That don't make sense. That don't make sense at all. But undoubtedly, it makes sense to some of our people who have been tricked. There's only one power and one power only that you need to concern yourself with. And that is the Most High. Not the power to vote. Not the power of economics that they'll tell you. Our people has economic supremacy all throughout the various generations. As early as the 1700s, 1800s, our people had economic supremacy. If you know your history, you'll know these things. But what has it? Have it yielded our people? And let me tell you, nothing. Because there's only one power you should be concerning yourself with, and that is the true and living creator, the Elohim of our fathers, the Most High himself, Yahweh. That is our power. and Yahweh let us know that his people will be delivered in the last days. And Yahweh gave us a sign that will let us know the time of our deliverance. And the beautiful thing about Yahweh is that the Most High don't change. So all you have to do is know the past. All you have to do is know your history. All you have to do is look in the time before you to see for yourself how Yahweh and what Yahweh will do today. And I'm about to show you a few signs that nobody else can show you so you can see for yourself. They're not going to talk about these things, such as in a book of Judges, the second chapter. Let me show you this. They're not going to talk about this. Watch what it says in the book of Judges, the second chapter. And you won't have not one leader talk about this. In the book of Judges, the second chapter, and watch what Yahweh says in the 16th verse. Now ask yourself, when you look on the screen, you will see our title and our discussion today is about the second and the third. And you're going to understand why. Right now, we're in the second book of Judges. And I told you, we're going to talk about the second and the third. The 16th verse, which if you're listening to me, and you've been listening to me, you understand what the 16 represents. The order of two. And watch what it says. Nevertheless, Yahweh raised up judges, which delivered them out of the hand of those that spoiled them. And nobody is being spoiled more than our people. And yet they would not hearken unto their judges, but they went a horn after other idols, bowed themselves unto them. They turned quickly out of the way which their fathers walked in, obeying the commandments of Yahweh, but they did not so. And when Yahweh raised them up judges, then Yahweh was with the judge and delivered them out of the hand of their enemies all the days of the judge. For it repented Yahweh because of their groanings by reason of them that oppressed them and vexed them. And it came to pass, when the judge was dead, that they returned and corrupted themselves more than their fathers, and following other idols and gods to serve them, to bow unto them, they ceased not from their own doings, nor from their stubborn way. And the anger of Yahweh was hot against Israel. And he said, because that this people had transgressed my covenant, which I commanded their fathers, and have not hearkened unto my voice, also will not henceforth drive out any from before them of the nations where Yehoshua left when he died. And this is what he was supposed to do. He was supposed to drive everybody out. But what is the significance of this? Well, this is letting us know emphatically that Yahweh will raise up judges. And what is a judge? A judge, someone to rule, govern, and judge the people. go before the people. Judges that Yahweh was raising up, they were like prophets who will rule the people. And Yahweh will be with that judge. And here it is today, our people are groaning, but they're not groaning as of yet for Yahweh to raise up someone. Well, he already has, but our people don't know who that is because they're not trying to know who that is. Even though Yahweh said he will return David, our people not looking for no David. Even though Yahweh said he will return Elijah, are people not looking for no Elijah? Even though Yahweh said he will raise up Moses, yes, that's what he said in the scriptures. But you don't know that because nobody never told you that. And I'm going to show you the scriptures where he said he will raise up a Moses. But nevertheless, Yahweh, anytime he has a thought to deliver our people, he's not going to do it without bringing to you his prophet. Watch what Yahweh say in the book of Amos, the third chapter. And didn't I tell you we were going to be talking about the second and the third? And watch what it says in this third chapter of Amos. The seventh verse. Yahweh, surely Yahweh. What do that mean? Surely Yahweh. That means, make no mistake about it, it is of a truth. This is a fact. Surely, Yahweh Elohim will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So Yahweh, in all his goodness and his mercy and his righteousness, he's not going to do nothing but what he first revealed unto his servants, the prophets. And let me show you what Yahweh has revealed, so you'll know what will befall you in this time. As I stated before, anytime our people were in trouble, as we read in the book of Judges, the second chapter, Yahweh said he will raise up judges. He was raise up one. And let me show you what I'm telling you is the truth. Watch this so you can see this for your own self. Such as when our people was in Babylon. Look in the book of Daniel. And you're going to see why Yahweh did this. Daniel, the first chapter. The chapter in which Daniel was born. Prior to this, you didn't even know a Daniel. But watch what it says. The very first verse. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim. Now, why the third year? This is what you're going to find in the second and in the third. The second represents the Creator's name. So oftentimes the Creator is going to do something in the second that will bear out his name so you can understand and watch and see for yourself, well, who's doing this? What's happening? Where is this coming from? And you're going to make no mistake about it. You're going to know this thing is coming from heaven. Now, we so happen to be in the second year. Now, why does that matter? Because we're talking about the second and the third. Now, the mass majority of our people, the Israelites, they're not talking about no second year. So you're not going to get this message from anybody and from everywhere. Because they're not talking about the second year, the third year, the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, or no year at all. But here, we're going to let you know exactly what Yahweh has proposed at this time in the second and the third. And why? Because the second represents Yahweh's name. And so Yahweh will do something to let you know the time is at hand. But here, we're reading in the third year. And watch what it says. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And Yahweh gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand of the vessels of the house of Elohim. And he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his idol. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his deity. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, of the king's seed, and of the princes. These were the hierarchies. Children in whom was no blemish, well-favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had the ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof, that they might stand before the king. And as I told you before, that's what we're here to talk about, the second and the third. And why is it speaking about the third year here? And why is it letting you know that this thing had to go down for 3 years? What significance does that have? Since every word of Elohim is pure, and he is a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his word, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. So let ask your teachers, what do the third year mean here? What significance does it have? What importance is it to our salvation? And I'm going to show you it's very important to our salvation. Watch what it says. Among these were the children of Judah: Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah, which is really Cananiah, and to Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not be defiled. And here he is, a man in captivity, don't want to be defiled. We got brothers all over the internet talking about you can't keep the law, you can't be holy. But here it is, one of our foreparents, clearly in captivity, didn't want to eat certain things because he didn't want to be defiled. This is why you don't let people tell you can't what you can't do. Telling you you can't keep the law. Watch me. Watch me keep the law. Now hear this Daniel that's raised up in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim and then came to Nebuchadnezzar. And little do people know, this was the first year. This was the first year of Nebuchadnezzar. Even though it was the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim. Because watch the second chapter. And this is the point. This is why we're talking about the second and the third. Because Yahweh wanted Daniel and his companions to be raised up, as is stated in the book of Judges, the second chapter. And this is how Yahweh would do it. Watch Daniel, the second chapter, the very first verse. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream. My spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake Chaldeans to the king, O king, live forever. Tell the servants thy dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill. So Yahweh put the king and those, the king's wise men, in an uncompromising position. The wise men of the king could not interpret the dream. And the king, who wanted them to interpret the dream had left him. He didn't even know what he dreamed. All he knew was this dream was very troublesome. To the extent it was so troublesome that the king made a decree that all the wise men of Babylon would die. That's how troublesome this dream was. Now remember, it's the second year of Nebuchadnezzar. Your name was mentioned in the third year of Jehoiakim. 13th verse. We're jumping down. And a decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. And they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guards, which gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in, desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. And Daniel went to his house, made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the Elohim of heaven concerning the secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the Elohim of heaven. And why? Because this is the time where Yahweh will do some extraordinary from heaven to deliver his people. All the wise men of Babylon was about to die. And Yahweh will use Daniel and his companions to deliver all of them. Because this is what Yahweh would do in the second and the third. That's why it's so vitally important to know time, and particularly your years. But to know time, period. Because if you don't know, then how would you know the time of your deliverance? Yahweh said he will do nothing but what he first revealed unto the servants, the prophets. So Yahweh revealed this great dream. The wise men didn't die. And guess what happened? Daniel and his brothers was promoted to great stature. And our people don't even know. We are in the second year of Yah's Sabbaths of years. We're in the second year. As a matter of fact, we're at the end of the second year. Not the full end. Because when you're at the full end, you're going into the third year. But we are at the end of the second year. So your eyes should be open to certain things. Because this is the time where Yahweh will do great things from heaven. And make no mistake about it. You're going to see the works of Yah. Furthermore, just so you can see, in the book of Esther, just show you how consistent Yahweh is. And you might ask yourself, well, why didn't we know this years ago? Why didn't we know this the other second? The second year, of 7 years ago. Why we didn't know this in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s? Because it wasn't time to know. Yahweh do everything in its time. And this is the time where Yahweh wanted you to know what he would do. You knowing it in another time didn't serve Yahweh, because he know our people. This is the time that Yahweh wanted you to know this. Let me show you this in the book of Esther. Let me find it. And see if this is consistent with Daniel. And we're speaking about the second and the third. What Yahweh will do. And it might be the second year, the third year, but it might be the second month or the third month. It might be the second day or the third day. It might be the second and the third generation. And little do people know, the second and the third and the third and the second is a sign from Yahweh. And I'm going to show you that. Watch what it says. Not voting. but this. Watch what it says. In the book of Esther, the first chapter. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus that in those days, when the king Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan the palace, in the third year of his reign. Now, why the third year? What significance does this have? Because just like Daniel was raised up in this third year, what was he raised up to do? To save lives, to deliver people. As a matter of fact, Daniel was in Babylon for 70 years, and most of his time, that's what he did. Him and his brothers, his companions, they were like deliverers. They delivered people from lives getting killed their whole time. And they counseled with wisdom and understanding their whole time. And they were seen to be 10 times wiser than all the wise men of Babylon. But now here we are in the book of Esther. In the third year of his reign, he made a feast unto all the princes, his servants, the power of Persia, Media, the nobles, the princes of the provinces, being before him, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty many days, even 144 days. And when these days were expired, and now what's 144 days? Well, you know what 100 is, right? Well, 40 is 80, because a score is 20. So 40 is 80. So this is 180 days. Now, what's 180 days? 180 days is 6 months. Six complete months. How do I know that? Because it's only 30 days a month. And 6 times 30 is 180. We got people being tricked, talking about it's 29 this month, 30 that month. No. This was 144 days. 180 days, 6 months. Which let you know that not only was 6 complete months, but now you're at the 7 months. So right now, they're going into their 7th month. Because 180 days had expired. Watch what it says. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast to all the people that were present in Shushan the palace. Remember, it's the third year. Both unto great and small, 7 days. In the court of the garden of the king's palace. So 7 more days passed in this 7th month. The beginning of the 7th month. And the third year. Were white, green, blue hangings fastened with cords of fine linen, purple, the silver rings, pillars of marble. The bed was of gold and silver upon a pavement of red, blue, and white and black marble. I mean, these things were decked out. What kind of heathens have this type of stuff? This is what you call royal. This stuff they have today ain't royal. The Trump Plaza. But ain't nothing royal about the Trump Plaza. That's the dump plaza compared to these palaces. And they gave them drink and vessels of gold and royal wine in abundance. according to the state of the king. And the drinking was according to the law. None did compare. In other words, they had their stuff all together. They wasn't in there getting drunk, sloppy drunk. They did this according to the law. And none did force drinking. For so the king had appointed to all the officers of his house, they should do according to every man's pleasure. Also, Vashti the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded Mehuman, Bizda, Harbona, Bigda, Abagda, Zedar, Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, and it's not no liquor, to show the people and the princess her beauty, for she was fair to look on. But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. And that would make a husband mad. That would make a king mad. He just telling his wife to come, and he wanted to introduce her to the other people, show her how beautiful she was, and she refused. And why did she refuse? Because she was not virtuous. She was not a virtuous woman at all. And as a result of this, let me show you what happened. Because then you're going to see what this story is all about. That occurred in the third year of Ahasuerus. And we're talking about the second and the third. We're going to jump down to the 19th verse. And this is what it says. If it please the king, let there go a royal commandment from him, and let it be written among the laws of the Persians and other Medes, that it not be altered, that Vashti come no more before the king Ahasuerus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. In other words, replace her. And when the king's decree which he shall make shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to the great and small. And the same pleased the king and the princess. And the king did according to the word of Memucan. For he sent letters to all the king's provinces, and to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language, every people. And this is what they did. But not only did they do that, show you what else they did. In the second chapter of Esther, and didn't I tell you we're talking about the second and the third? And watch what it says, because this is what this is all about. Whom Yahweh will raise up to judge the people. After these things, when the wrath of the king of Ahasuerus was appeased, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, let there be fair young virgins sought for the king, and let the king appoint officers in all the provinces of his kingdom, that they may gather together all the fair young virgins unto Shushan the palace, to the house of the women, unto the custody of Haggai, the king's chamberlain, keeper of the women, and let their things for purification be given them. And let the maiden which pleaseth the king be queen instead of Vashti. And the thing pleased the king, and he did so. Now, Shushan the palace, there was a certain Yehudanite, whose name was Mordecai, the son of Yair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish, a Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity which had been carried away from Yeconia, king of Yehuda, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. As we can see, and if you don't know the story of Esther, this woman was a very wise woman. Just like Daniel. Daniel was wise in the third year, raised up. In the second year of Nebuchadnezzar, he would save lives through the Most High because he interpreted the king's dreams. But in this same Babylon under Ahasuerus, this person was not a man, but yet a woman. And her name was Hadassah, whom the heathens call Esther. And she was raised up. And just to show you how long she had to be purified, here it is. This was in the third year. But watch this, in this same second chapter, the 12th verse. Now when every maid's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months. And we know what 12 months is. There's no 13-month years. This is a total lie. It's not even in the scriptures. 12 months. According to the manner of the women. For so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh. 6 months with sweet odors and with other things for the purifying of the women. 12 months. And this is what Esther went and done. And of course, in the end, she was chosen. She was elected. She was raised up in the third year. And what year do you think we're in? The second year. The second year. What come after two? You're right. Three. Three come after two. And you think Yahweh is about to change courses because you don't know time, because you don't know your years? We read about Daniel. We read about Esther or Hadassah. But what about our other father, foreparent, yourself? Let's see if he was raised up to do anything different. And I'm here to tell you, he was not. Watch this in the book of Genesis. The first thing you want to know about yourself in the book of Genesis 37, if you turn there. Talking about the second and the third. And why it's so vitally important. What do this have to do with your salvation. Well, it has everything to do with your salvation. Because this is the time when Yahweh will raise somebody up. Now, why do I need to know that? Because little do our people know danger is about to befall them. Evil is about to befall them. And then when this evil do come, the very first thing you're going to be looking for is not the vote. You're not going to be looking to call upon these false idols because you're going to know they fake then. What you're going to be looking for is a deliverer, somebody to deliver you out of the state of condition that you're going to find yourself in. And there's only one that do that, Yahweh. Yahweh is your only deliverer, your only savior. But Yahweh said he will do nothing but what he first revealed unto his servants, the prophets. In the book of Ezekiel, Genesis 37, watch what happens. I want you to see the origin of this story. And watch what it says in Genesis 37, starting at the very first verse. And Yaakov dwelt in the land wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Yaakov. Yosef, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren. And the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Yosef brought unto his fathers their evil report. That's what Yosef would do. Now, it's not insignificant that it lets you know that Yosef was 17 years old. Why do we need to know his age? Because every word of Elohim is pure. It lets you know his age because 17 is the order of three. And we're talking about the second and the third. 3, 10, 17, 24, that's all the order of three. Third verse. Now Israel loved Yosef more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brothers saw that his father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And of course, we know the story that Yosef would tell them a dream, and this dream almost caused his brethren to kill him, but they did not. And they threw him in some hole where finally he was got out the hole by some Midianites and then sold into Egypt. And there was Joseph in Egypt. And Joseph will rise to power. And let me show you what age he was when he rose to power and what will happen. You see, 17 years old right now. But check how old he was when he rose to power. And you'll read this in the book of Genesis, the 41st chapter. But right before we read Genesis 41, let me show you when Yosef was well known, got real known. You'll read it in the book of Genesis, the 40th chapter. And watch what it says. First verse. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief butlers, against the chief bakers. And he put them inward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Yosef was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Yosef with them, and he served them. And they continued a season inward. And they dreamed a dream. Now you notice there's two people, right?
the butler and the baker. And didn't we tell y'all we were talking about the second and the third? And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night. And not only it was two of them, but they both each had a dream, which is two dreams. Each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. And Yosef came in unto them in the morning, looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him inward of the master's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Yosef said unto them, do not interpretations belong to Elohim? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Yosef and said unto him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And watch what the, this is the butler now, and watch his dream. In the vine were three branches. Why three branches? And it was a doughy budded, and her blossom shot forth, and clusters thereof brought forth white grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand. And I took the grapes, pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Yosef said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. Three branches are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head, restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, after the former manner, when thou was his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews. And here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Yosef, I was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And why three white baskets? What is this three? And in the uppermost basket, there was of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. And the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Yosef answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And watch the 20th verse. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Yosef had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Yosef, but forgot him. And here it is, it said on the third day when Pharaoh was celebrating his birthday. But little do people know that Yahweh's Sabbath of years began on the third day. That's when the third year began, on the third day. How ironic. And it's not irony at all. It's just the truth. And watch the very next verse. Going in chapter 41, because now you're going to see how Yosef was raised up. And watch this. Genesis 41:1. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. Now, check this out. Pharaoh dreamed at the end of 2 full years. Didn't I tell you we're talking about the second and the third? And what come after two? Yes, three. And this is the end of 2 full years. And what year are we in? The second. And we are at the end of the second year, but we're not at the end of 2 full years. Because when you're at the end of 2 full years, then you're going into the third year. And they in the third year. That's where they going. And when did the third year begin? On the third day. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kind of fat flesh, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kind came up after them out of the river, ill-favored, lean flesh, and stood by the other kind upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean-flesh kind did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kind. So Pharaoh awoke, and he slept and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears blasted, and the east wind sprung up after them. And the 7 thin ears devoured 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh woke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men thereof. And Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler of Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, put me inward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream. And there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto my office, and him he hanged. And Pharaoh sent and called yourself, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself, and he changed his raiment, came in unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I've dreamed a dream. There's none that can interpret it. And I've heard say of thee that thou can understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. Elohim shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And so Pharaoh would tell Joseph his dream. And watch what Joseph said. In the 25th verse. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one, even though you had 2 dreams. This dream is only one. And Elohim have shown Pharaoh what he's about to do. The 7 good kind are 7 years. The 7 good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. The 7 thin, ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. And the 7 empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What Elohim is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine. And all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of the famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that, the dream was doubled. Didn't we say we're talking about the second and the third? And for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by Elohim. And did not the law say, let every matter be established by two or three witnesses? And Elohim will shortly bring it to pass. In other words, this thing about to happen and go down right now. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out at man discreet and wise. Set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenty of years. And let them gather all the food of those good years that come. Lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh and let them keep food in the cities, and that the food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. Thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this is, a man in whom the spirit of Elohim is? And here it is, our people don't even look for a man of Elohim. And surely they don't look for a man of Elohim whom the spirit of Elohim is in. What do Yahweh got to show you before you recognize, my goodness, this man has the spirit of Elohim in him? And how do you know whether a man has the spirit of Elohim in him? By his wisdom. By the things that he will show you that nobody else can show. Because Yahweh show it to him. And watch what it says. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as Elohim has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house according unto thy word, shall all my people be ruled. Only enthroned will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, put it upon Joseph's hand, arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zanapaaniah. And he gave him to wife Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And this is the one of the parts I want you to see. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And remember, I told you, before he got this far, before he was raised up, the last age he gave was 17 years old. Joseph was 17 years old when he was sold into Egypt. And when he raised up to rule Egypt, he became 30 years old. That's 13 years. 17 plus 13. It's 30. And when he was 17, that was the order of three. And what do you think the order of 30 is? Yeah, if you know, two. And what did I say we were talking about tonight? The second and the third. And you see how Yahweh will have yourself interpret all these dreams in the second year, because he knew he's about to raise him up. And then in his third year, which began on the third day, on Pharaoh's birthday, they will call yourself and say, man, you got to interpret this dream. And he did. And what did he tell him when he was 30 years old? Which is the order of two. He told them that there will be 7 years of plenty. Now, this is the third year. What do you think? 7 years from 3 years. Yeah, it goes right back to the third year. Now, Yosef is 37 years old. And then he told him it will be 7 years of famine. But look what happened. Before they made it through to the 7 years of famine, something happened that nobody else would teach you. Nobody else would show you. Here it is, yourself, 37. And look what happened. And you'll read it in the book of Genesis, the 45th chapter. Let us turn there. Now remember, he's 37. Because 7 years of plenty came by. Genesis 45. But he still have 7 years of famine. And Yosef could not frame himself before all them that stood by him. Because now he meeting his brothers. And he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with them, while Yosef made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Yosef said unto his brethren, I am Yosef. I am Yosef. Do my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Yosef said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near and said, I am Yosef, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourself, that ye sold me here. For Elohim did send me before you to preserve life. Why do you think we're talking about this thing tonight? Why do you think we're talking about the second and the third? Because I'm trying to show you and let you know and warn you so you can see that this is when Yahweh raised up his judges, his prophets. And why? To deliver them. Because evil and trouble is coming upon our people. And what year are we in? The second. And what year are we going into? The third year of Yah's Sabbath of years. What year, how many years have Trump been in office? 2 years. And we're going into the third year of Trump administration. And his fourth year will be in 2020. Look what happened. Sixth verse. For these 2 years, did not say two, have the famine been in the land? In other words, there was 7 years of plenty. And Yosef was 37. Now there's 2 years of famine. Now they see all his brothers. And didn't we let you know that this represents Yahweh's name? See how Yahweh will united the brothers together? But it wasn't in a way that they thought they were going to be reunited. For these 2 years have the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be ear nor harvest. And Elohim sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth. In other words, 13 years when he became 30. And then 7 more years, which is how many years? 20 years. And if you don't know nothing about 20, we're going to talk about 20 tomorrow. We're going to talk about how relevant 20 is. First 13 years when he was 17 years old. Then it was 20 years old and 20 years in Egypt. And now at this age of 20, or at the time of 20 years, the famine will begin. And then 2 more years, that's when he will see his brethren. And Elohim sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, to save you, save lives by a great deliverance, because that's when Yahweh saved. So now it was not you that sent me here, but Elohim. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, master of all his house, ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. This is what Yahweh would do in the second and the third. And lastly, let me show you this, to let you know that I'm telling you the truth. In the book of Hosea, watch this in the book of Hosea. Of course, our people sojourned in Egypt 430 years. Now, there are some people out there who try to make Yahweh a lie and try to act like the 400-year prophecy of Abraham was really Egypt. And Yahweh didn't mean 400 years. He really meant 430 years. Yahweh is not a lie. He said 400 and he meant 400. But our people in Egypt, they sojourned there 430 years. And I'm not no rocket scientist. But there's a difference between 400 and 430. Let somebody owe you some money and they shorten you 30 years. Then you'll see what I'm talking about. Watch this in Hosea, the 6th chapter, the very first verse. Come and let us return unto Yahweh, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days. Why 2 days? And why after 2 days? Because I told you there's a great relationship between the second and the third. And you got to learn it. You got to know it. Because this is the time when Yahweh delivers and raise up. After 2 days, will he revive us? Ain't that what he did with Yosef when he was in a prison? In the second year? Isn't this the same thing he did during the time of Esther? During the time of Daniel? And then the third year, you would see them come on the scene and he would interpret Nebuchadnezzar's dream in the second year? After 2 days, will he revive us? In the third day, he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know if we follow on to know Yahweh. For his going forth is prepared as a morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain. And you might want to look up this rain. As the latter and former rain unto the earth. You might want to study and look at that verse to see how Yahweh said he would come to us. But make no mistake about it. After 2 days, he will revive us. And when is this? Is this the second year? Is this the second day? Is it the second month? When is this? And then in the third year, we shall live in his sight. This is what this means. This is the time in which Yahweh will do great wonders. And make no mistake about it. There's nothing new under the sun. Yahweh has always done this in the past. You just didn't know it. It was never revealed to you. And now it is. But you still have to follow it to know it. Here it is. Nobody telling you about these years. Nobody telling you about Yahweh Sabbaths. Nobody teaching you about Yahweh times. But now you know how significant, how important, how vital these times are. There's a reason why Jonah was in the ark, in the belly of the whale, 3 days and three nights. There's a reason for that, because it was a sign. There's a reason why Abraham, let me just show you Abraham in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. And I'm just going to show one more scripture after this. Genesis 15. And watch what it says. The 7th verse. And he said unto him, I am Yahweh that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit. And he said, Yah Elohim, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And watch this 9th verse. And he said unto him, take me a heifer 3 years old. Why 3 years old? What significance does that have? And a she-goat of 3 years old. And a ram of 3 years old. Oh, and a turtle dove and a pigeon. 3 of the 5 animals. 5 in total. 3 were 3 years old. What significance does that have? Well, the significance is this was Yahweh's servant. This was his messenger that he was raising up in the earth. This was a sign to let you know what Yahweh would do. And look what Yahweh said he would do. The 12th verse. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, a horror, great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. That's what the 3-year-old she-goat, the 3-year-old heifer, the 3-year-old ram, represented Yahweh's servant, who he was raising up to foretell, to prophesy about our captivity today. Here it is, the government will commemorate our 400-year enslavement. And the only place you can read about our people being enslaved for 400 years is in the Holy Scriptures. Prophecy that Yahweh himself said. Now, who will give credence to this except Yahweh's servants? Everybody else won't give credence at all to this. This don't mean nothing. But Yahweh's servants know it means everything. And lastly, to show you that this second and third and second is a sign. Look in the book of Exodus 19. The very first verse. In the third month, here it is, we're talking about the third, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day came they into the wilderness of Sinai. For they were departed from Rephidim and were come to the desert of Sinai and pitched in the wilderness. And there Israel camped before the mount. And Moshe went up unto Elohim, and Yahweh called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shall I say to the house of Yaakov, and tell the children of Israel, this is in the third month. This is on the day of the third new month, in which our brothers been tricked and bamboozled to think this is the third new moon. No, this is the day of the third month, which I may add is on the first day of the week. And we're going to bring all this truth to you. And ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle wings and brought you unto myself. Now, therefore, if ye will obey my voice, indeed, keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And Moshe came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their face all these words which Yahweh commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that Yahweh has spoken, we will do. And Moshe turned the words of the people unto Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee and believe thee forever. And Moshe told the words of the people unto Yahweh. And Yahweh said unto Moshe, go unto the people, sanctify them today. And when is that? The very third day, the very day of the new month. And tomorrow, which is the first day of the third month. And let them wash their clothes and be ready against the third day, which is the second day of the third month. For the third day, Yahweh will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. So Yahweh came down unto the people, spoke the Ten Commandments on the third day of the week. But it was the second day, third month. Now do you see why we're talking about the second and the third? Why would Yahweh choose this time, to come down and speak the Ten Commandments, something as holy as that. He said, get them ready 3 days. The day of the new month, the first day, and the second day. And then he came down. And Yahweh, made no mistake about it, is coming down again. But not on Mount Sinai. He's coming down to deliver our people. We're in the second year. Remember, the second and the third, what Yahweh will do. Until tomorrow, Yahweh love you, and so do I. Shalom.
To you, my Yadu, I lift up my soul. And trust in you, he always kept me whole. And left my enemies deep in their holes. Let none that wait on Yahweh be ashamed. Put shame on those who sin without a cause. Show me your ways, please teach me your laws. Oh Elohim, of my salvation. I'm staying down impatient. As a child, all the while I'm waiting. Remember not the sins of my youth. Leave me in your truth, and he'll give your soul ease. The earth shall remain inherited by your seed. The secret of Yahweh, who fears Elohim, a fool believes everything. And to every word spoken, you can't take heed unless you hear somebody curse. You know you did the same thing. That's why I'm begging y'all for mercy. And it's love and kindness, cause I know that I ain't worthy.